We bow our heads for prayer. Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let me tell you the story of a man named Augustine, or Augustine as some call him. He lived around 400 AD, about 1600 years ago, and he was one of the greatest Christian theologians the Holy Christian Church has ever had. But he wasn't always so faithful. He was born into a Christian home. His father became a Christian on his deathbed, and his mother was a very devout believer. She instructed Augustine in his faith when he was a child, but when he became older, he left the Christian faith. He thought that Christianity was not intellectually superior than other religions. And since he joined a different religion, he began to live a very sinful lifestyle, even to the point that he once said to God, "Lord, make me a holy and pure person, but not yet. Not right now." Now, you and I would think a person who grew up as a Christian but left the faith, thought that Christianity was not intellectually superior and lived such a horrible lifestyle that he would never be a believer. But it happened. Because of circumstances in his life, he looked back at God's word and he had a powerful pastor with his preaching, and he became a believer. God's word saved him. And it's God's word that has saved you as well. Whether you were an infant and you've grown up with the Christian faith, or you never heard about it before, or because of circumstances in your life, the word was shared with you and now you are a believer. But it's no surprise to you that there's so many people out there who don't believe. And one of the reasons that they don't is because they attack Scripture itself. Maybe you have heard some of these attacks where people will say, well, the Bible was written by men. The Bible is full of contradictions. The Bible isn't complete because there's other gospels and books out there that should be included. And the Bible and its teachings, they're just so old, they no longer apply to us today. Shouldn't surprise us that people attack Scripture because people have been doing it ever since the Bible was written. But as we see from these words in 2 Peter, it's very clear that no matter how Scripture is attacked, God's Word endures and saves. So let's take a look at those attacks, and let's look at that first one where people say the Bible was written by men. Now, of course, we're not going to disagree with that statement because people like Moses and David and Peter and Paul, they wrote down the words in Scripture. But when people say that the Bible was written by men, they mean that it's just another book that man has created and that there's nothing special about the Bible. But what did Peter say? Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. Peter focuses on that one word, prophecy. And it's the prophecies of the Bible that make Scripture very unique. Yes, there are other man-made books that have prophecies, but those prophecies either tend to be very confusing and convoluted that people don't really know what they mean, or the prophecies were written after the event took place, and therefore they came up with these prophecies to validate what had happened. Not so with Scripture. All the prophecies in Scripture were written down before the event took place, and they are very clear and concise. You think about the prophecies about Jesus as our Savior. There's nothing confusing about the fact that he'd be born of the Virgin. There's nothing convoluted of the fact that he would be born in Bethlehem. And the prophecies about the end of his life and ministry are very clear. And it's those prophecies that I really want us to zero in on. If you and I were to come up with a story about Jesus being our Savior, what do you think it would end up like? Our man-made stories tend to show a rags to riches, a zero into a hero, a nobody into a champion, someone that no one likes into someone that everyone loves. That's the story that we would come up with for our Savior, but not Scripture. Prophecies say that our Savior would be betrayed by one of his followers, deserted by his disciples, mocked by the people, whipped and beaten and crucified. Would any of us come up with that story of a Savior and share that with others? No, because that message is foolishness. It's offensive. And yet that's what Scripture says. That's what these prophets wrote down, and here's why. Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The reason the prophets wrote down all these prophecies about Jesus, our Savior, who would be beaten and whipped and killed, is because God was giving them those words. He breathed into them exactly what they were to write down as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And we call this the doctrine of verbal inspiration. And this doctrine of verbal inspiration is very helpful when it comes to the other attack that people have against Scripture. People will say the Bible is full of contradictions. Well, does the Bible contradict itself? And allow me to be honest, it does if, there's the key word, if you pick and choose what the Bible says. And that's what a lot of people do when they make this claim. Some may say, well, in the Old Testament it says if someone harms me, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And yet Jesus says, well, if someone harms you, turn the other cheek. Some may point to how God told the Israelites they were to offer up all these sacrifices, and then another passage says that God does not delight in these sacrifices. Or maybe you have heard this one where people say the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. The God of the New Testament is so full of love and forgiveness, but the God of the Old Testament is so full of anger and murder. And so by doing this, you can make the Bible contradict itself. But when you allow Scripture to speak for itself, all of Scripture is not contradictory. It does not lie. And the reason for that is because this is God's Word, and God cannot lie or contradict himself. And think of how much of a miracle this really is, that all of Scripture is not contradictory. Scripture was written down over a period of 1,600 years. To put that in perspective, 1,600 years ago, Rome was still an empire. The Bible was written by some 40 different authors. The Bible was written in different times, in different places, and in different cultures. If you and I were to write a book that would take 1,600 years, written down by 40 different authors in different times and places and cultures, do you think there would be contradictions? Absolutely. We would not agree on everything, but the Bible does. It's because God verbally inspired what would be written down. God's Word endures, even against these attacks that it's a man-made book or it's full of contradictions. But there's another attack against Scripture that says the Bible isn't complete. There are other gospels and books that should be added to the Bible. The reason that people say this is because you may or may not know, but archaeology has found different gospels out there. Maybe you've heard of the Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Judas. And therefore, since archaeology has found these gospels, people make the claim that the Bible is not complete and these books should be added. Now, this should not surprise us at all that there are these other gospels out there, because Peter said, there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. They will exploit you with stories they have made up. No false teacher is going to openly declare to you that they are preaching something that is not true. They will secretly introduce it to you. They will make up these stories, which is what these false gospels were doing. For instance, I'll give you an example. In one of these Gospels, it talks about how Jesus was walking on the shore of the Sea of Galilee with his 12 disciples. And then the disciples stop. And they take a look back and they notice there's only 12 set of footprints. And when they look at Jesus, they notice he wasn't leaving any footprints. And therefore, this Gospel was saying that Jesus was not true man, but only appeared as a human. They were making up these false stories and adding the names of the disciples on their books in order to make people more favorable toward their message. But the ancient Christian church recognized this. They knew that these gospels were disagreeing with the clear words of Scripture, and therefore they were rejected. God's word is complete. And God has said, do not add or subtract to it. God's word endures even against these other gospels. But there's one more attack that's probably the most pertinent for us today. And it's that attack that says the Bible and its teachings are so old and they no longer apply to us nowadays. You see that so much in our culture and society. Scripture makes it very clear that life begins at conception. And yet there's this doctrine of pro-choice that says the thing inside that woman is not a person, and therefore she has the right to remove it from her body. Scripture is very clear that homosexuality is a sin. It's not the worst sin, it's not the unforgivable sin, but it is a sin. And yet there's this doctrine that even twists God's word around that says, well, God is love. Therefore, we should love and accept these people for who they are. After all, it's God who made them that way. Therefore, who are you to judge them? Or there's this doctrine that says that if you believe in Jesus and fully embrace him in your life, then God is going to greatly bless you. He will make you prosperous. He will make you popular. And yet, Jesus said, if we follow him, we have to carry our crosses and the world will hate us because they first hated him. But now you may be saying to yourselves, Pastor, I don't believe in those false doctrines. I believe what God's word clearly says, and trust me, I rejoice in that fact. But what false doctrines may we believe in? Today is Father's Day. And as you look at that banner up there, it talks about a father leading his children about the instruction of the Lord. And yet we can believe this false doctrine that says, well, it's their faith and it's their decision. And yes, ultimately, it is their faith and their decision to reject Christ or to follow him. That shouldn't be excused not to talk about God in our homes, as it said in the book of Deuteronomy here. Or maybe it's this false doctrine that we believe all that matters is that I believe in God and pray to him. That's all I have to do. And yet Jesus said, if you really love me, you will obey what I command. And he said in the gospel, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will be saved, but only those who believe in him and put his words into practice. Or maybe it's those times when God's word clearly points out our sin, and yet we believe this own personal doctrine ourselves. And we say, well, circumstances are different. This doesn't really apply to me. What I am doing is really not sinful. Whatever the case may be, we can find ourselves believing false doctrine and denying the truths of Scripture. And why do we do that? Why do so many other people refuse to believe Scripture and accept false doctrine? It's because false doctrine makes us feel better. False doctrine denies the sin that we do and it makes it acceptable. False doctrine speaks to our sinful natures that wants nothing to do with the truth of Scripture but would rather see God's word crumble and fall. And that's why Peter said these false doctrines, they are destructive and they can bring destruction upon you. False doctrine only harms our faith. False doctrine does not save. But God's word does. And that's probably the ultimate reason why God's word endures. God could take away his word because we don't always believe it and people attack it, but he allows it to endure in order to save us from our sins. God's word saves us by first using the law to point out our sin. None of us rejoices in that. None of us likes to be exposed for all the wrongs that we do. But the law does that to show us how sinful we are, how we need a Savior, and how we can't save ourselves. And after the law convicts, it's the gospel that comforts. It's the gospel that shows us that all the prophecies that God had about Christ, Jesus came to fulfill. He came to live as one of us. He came to suffer for us. He came to die for our sins. And he came to rise to life for us and for our salvation. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you are forgiven. That is the truth of Scripture. And after the gospel comforts, it's God's word that guides us. As the verse of the day said, God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. God's word makes us be willing to obey what Jesus has commanded and to put his words into practice. God's word endures and saves. It was God's word that endured and saved Augustine. It's God's word that endures and saves you and me. It's God's word that will endure and save even those who attack Scripture. For God's word has endured against every attack in the past. God's word endures against every attack right now. And God's word will continue to endure against every attack in the future. For even Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will always remain. God's word is the solid rock of our faith. And God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.